Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. I am so happy to be with everybody again. I know I say that every single episode, every single show I do, but that's just the way it is. I look forward to every single show and my wonderful, fabulous guests that take the time out to be with me. And I always get like a little bit of those butterflies, you know. It's like for any entertainer, you know, and I am an entertainer as well. You know, before you get your foot on that stage, it's like, oh, my gosh. But then once you start, everything quiets down and you have a wonderful time. So everybody knows who's going to be on my show. I tried to trick them, but it didn't work because Facebook just goes and tells everybody everything. You have to be very careful what you say. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guest. And this is probably the furthest away interview that I've done so far. And it's good. It's good because I'm going to be interviewing somebody in California soon. But in any case, it is a good friend of mine who I absolutely adore. She's a fabulous photographer. She's beautiful, she's talented, and she is the author of For Music's Sake, I almost goofed on that one, which is all about the Asbury Park Upstage Club and the Green Mountain Cafe, and it's the untold stories, and her name is Carrie Potter, and she's going to pronounce her last name Devening. Devening, I got it right. I've been practicing for a long time. Hi, Carrie.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on the show.
Oh, it is my pleasure. It is my pleasure. Tell everybody where you're calling from.
I'm calling from Waco, Texas, but we're soon to be on the road to New Jersey. I'm so excited to get to go and visit the shore and introduce the children. They've actually never been. I've taken one or two on different trips as I was writing the book, but they were very small. And so this is our great big introductory trip for the kids so that they can kind of see where they came from and what I've been doing.
Exactly.
You know.
And how old are your children now? Because I remember you had one on your hip the last time you were here.
Yes, I have a 3-year-old, a 6-year-old, and a 10-year-old.
Oh, you do have 3 children. I was thinking about that last night, and I wasn't sure if it was 2 or 3. Oh, boy, Carrie, God bless you. What?
Yeah.
God bless you, the 3-year-old. Still. What?
I said sometimes it feels like 5.
Oh, sometimes it feels like 5. Yeah. Oh, I can imagine. I can imagine. So you're still almost with the hip.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness gracious. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank
it's
you.
Going to be really something. If you see this as a vacation, now I know that your mother's coming with you, correct?
Yes, my mother, my father, my husband, and my babies are all going with us. We're all coming together.
That's terrific. So you'll have help because I remember meeting your wonderful dad because he came with you before, and I know you even mentioned to me, you said, I don't know what I would do without my dad. He has been such like a help to me. And so that's great. That's great. Oh, I'm very happy for you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And Asbury is like, oh, get ready, girl, because since you've been here.
Oh, my goodness. I'm excited to see. It's been 3 years since I was there last, before Hurricane Sandy. And so I'm excited to come and see it and visit with everyone. And like I said, introduce the kids. My great-grandmother's house is still standing in Ocean Grove, so we're going to get a lot of great pictures there. And they've heard a lot of fabulous stories and seen a lot of great pictures, and they're excited to come and see it in person. And then they're excited to meet all the people that, you know, keep up with this on Facebook and visit online, so.
Right, yeah, it's fabulous. It's just, yeah, it's wonderful, isn't it? Facebook is really really terrific. I mean, it's allowed us to stay in touch all these years. It's and you meet so many wonderful people. I've met so many people even in other countries that I've become really close friends with. And I have friends like, you know, that right away that were from Asbury Park and moved away, and we're, you know, connected, all, you know, musicians that have moved up into the mountains. And it's just really a wonderful way to instantly, you know, get on there and send your private messages. I really enjoy it. And of course, promote. I mean, this is my major source of promotion, pretty much. Facebook, LinkedIn, and Twitter. It's all been like really phenomenal for me as far as a promotion tool. So, I want to talk to you though about. I mean, and I still had that wonderful. I'm so glad that we got that photograph of us when you were here and when we were able to go up. What a day that was. The day that we were able to go up those stairs, I was talking to a friend of mine last night who came, and she was, gosh, when they opened that door and I looked all the way up there, like three stories up those stairs, it was like just such a fabulous experience for me who had been there when I was, you know, like in my late 20s and going there myself.
Yeah. My 10-year-old son is really, really looking forward to that same experience. He's just bubbling over with excitement. And so I hope that we can get with whoever's got the keys and just privately let him peek in. So that's one of my goals when I'm there. Not that we're going to have anything public like they had back in March, but I'm really, really hoping that I can get that done because he's been keeping up. You know, he's 10 now, and he loves music, and he's interested, and he asks me all the time, Mom, is it still there? Do you think I'm going to get to see it? I hope they haven't knocked it over yet. And I'm like, well, you don't quite understand that, knocking it over, but I think it's still there.
Right. Oh, it's still there. It's still there. I can attest to that. I've been on Cookman Avenue, and it is there. For sure. And, oh, that's, you know, I just, you know, pray that he absolutely does get an opportunity to do that. That will be really wonderful. And I want to thank you personally, just for myself, that you took, did the labor of love and you put that wonderful book together for music's sake. Because it's not only because my brother's in there on page 33, I think that was it, but I don't remember to tell you the truth of the page. But, you know, it's just wonderful. I mean, you have a fantastic legacy. And, you know, I'm so happy that you did that. And I just encourage everybody to get that darn book. I mean, you have to get it.
It was really a labor of love, that's for sure. I had a really big task in front of me, and everyone's telling me I'm crazy because they don't look at it as a money maker type of book that's going to be worth my while. But I would just look right back at people who thought that it was a wasted endeavor and, like, you have no idea who might appreciate this. And it's very historical, and there's no reason why it should stay hidden in my attic just because you don't think it's going to be, you know, profitable.
Exactly. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing with my CD. If I were to, I've written 100 songs. Now, if I were to say that, like, and I was told the same thing, Carrie, way back when, 4 years ago, I said I'm going to spend so much, such and such on three songs alone, and it's thousands and thousands and thousands. I won't even say how much. Oh, okay, I'll say how much, $10,000. And I was told, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? And I'm like, this is my life. This is my dream. This is my life's work. I am going to do this. And within 2 days, I was called by the Joey Reynolds Show in New York City. And it's like, and it doesn't matter. I haven't made a cent on it. I haven't. Maybe one day I will. Maybe one day I'll get that phone call and say, hey, we want to buy Indecision, or we were going to make that hit. So, but you know what? That's not the reason that you do that. You don't do a labor of love because you have a dollar signs in your eyeballs. So I love you for number one from when I met you, and you are so sweet and such a wonderful person. And, you know, I just think, what if you haven't done it? What about all these people? The thing is promotion. It's get it out there, because so many people want to know about this and see those photographs that didn't have the chance to be there, just
like your
children.
Right, and I like to think that if I hadn't have done it, you know, okay, they may not have remembered some of the great things that went on there, but I like to think that because I did it, maybe we'll inspire somebody to do it again. Maybe not in the same building like we'd all like to see, but somewhere.
Right.
It's a really fabulous idea. It's been proven to work and be successful, not just because celebrities came from there, but because a lot of people were impacted positively by the power of the music that came from there and by the way that they you know, manage that place, and they did a really great thing, and it's something that could easily be done again.
Right.
Wasn't very complicated, so.
Right. No. Well, you know, the thing about it, Carrie, is that it's a once in a lifetime place. It's a legendary place. It's something, like you said, it's a historical building. It's a historical event. This will never be replicated. It can't be, really. Oh, somebody could get a club, and it could be similar, maybe. I mean, a lot of celebrities, played at the Stone Pony and at the Wonder Bar, and there will be many people that have performed there since that may well become. But look at all the years, and how many really, truly people that came out of those clubs other than Bruce Springsteen, how many, and Southside Johnny, of course, how many really have made it to iconic levels? So,
right.
I mean, there's
see,
they were never.
So impacted. There's people that, because I had to track down so many people to find information out. I was only equipped with just so much information. So if I want to fill a book full of pictures and have words with the pictures, I got to find other people. So when I did find them, you know, I learned a lot more in depth what the Upstage was about by doing that. And that's what drives me to say that it's a fabulous thing to try to do again, either whoever, wherever, because I saw through their stories and their experiences what kind of impact it made on their lives. And they're not all icons. Very few of them are icons. But like what School of Rock is doing is very similar. It's very close. But you still have to pay with School of Rock. That organization. You still have to have money to pay for lessons and go there and attend their workshops or whatever. The Upstage Club did it for free. And I know it sounds crazy to, you know, do that, but Tom and Margaret were able to sustain the venue because of the things that they sold and the cover charges that they had. And I mean, the book really shows how beautiful it worked. And what a charitable thing it ended up being for all those kids. And I've always just sort of agreed with that vision and felt like, as crazy as it may sound, even in today's world where everything is different in social, norms and everything, when you're helping people, it can always work.
Right. Well, I would kind of equate like the Upstage to places like if someone were to do like a book on, and I have no idea if it's ever been done or not, but like there was a place in New York City called the Red Roof where everyone would go. I actually sang there myself when I was like 20 years old. There are places like My Father's Mustache that would be way up in upper state New York. I sang on stage with Dickie Betts there. I mean, those places, or Birdland, or B.B. King's, or the Cotton Club, or forget it, let's go back, let's go all the way up to the top. Let's go to the Fillmore. I mean, the Belly Up Tavern on the West Coast. There are places that were so impacted music in such a way, like you say. I mean, I totally agree with you. It is like so many, you don't know how many people were literally touched by the experience. Mm-hmm. I know how I was touched by it. And I remember going up those stairs, and I remember so many things about Asbury Park that are so dear to me and so meaningful and helped to make me who I am today. You know, I mean, that's just it. I mean,
and you know, and I see these people on YouTube, these young people who are loading up their videos of their massive talent on whatever their instrument of choice or whatever it is they do on YouTube. You know, you see them all the time on Facebook. People are passing the links around, and they have nowhere. They have nowhere. Unless they want to, like I said before, they have to pay something or something. And I know that YouTube is in some ways almost like a digital kind of upstage where you can perform for people for free, you know, live.
Well, Reverb Nation as well.
But it's still not the same as having the opportunity to collaborate and have access to things you wouldn't normally have access to, because that's what they did. They brought those creative people together to collaborate, which produced amazing results out of that, which you don't get when you're by yourself in your room in front of your camera on YouTube or Reverb Nation. And then it also gave you the opportunity to have access to instruments or something that you may not have otherwise had access to. They kept that all in-house so that anybody could just walk up and give it a try. And it wasn't open mic. It's not apples to apples to open mic or some underage night in bar. It's absolutely totally different. And that's why everybody says it's like nothing you've ever seen or heard of before. And it wasn't, and it still isn't. If somebody were to open a new one, it would be coined the same thing. It's like the newest, most amazing place you've ever seen that you've never seen before. And it would be successful, because despite not serving alcohol, it would have so much foot traffic because of the services and the things that it provides. You would still find a way to make that revenue you need to survive off the other things that you offer. So I hope the book inspires somebody to do that. I can't do it personally because I've got all of my responsibilities with my family, but there are entrepreneurs out there searching for something meaningful to do, and that would be something great to see happen, because I made sure that the history got out there so people could see, hey, it's been done before and it worked great.
Have you ever connected with like the Asbury Park Press or people like that, and then had articles about you did that for years ago, when you released your book?
The book was released in 2011, and even before the book was released, I spent years in contact with all of the major media outlets to make sure they knew that it was coming, that I was compiling and I mean they know I exist to a certain degree, because I got called by Jimmy Fallon in 2014 to borrow a photo from the book. So they know I'm out there, you know.
You should have said, hey, Jimmy, about having me on your show. Excuse me, I'm sorry.
I did, actually.
you did?
I did. Well, it wasn't Jimmy himself, you understand. It was his
Of course not.
But I did actually tell them that, and who knows. I put the bug in the rear. That's all you can do, right?
Put some more in, send him a book and sign it to him. Absolutely. Yeah, let Jimmy Fallon open the club.
anybody with a heart that wants to help could do it, you know, in any hole-in-the-wall place, as long as you decorated it as beautiful as Grandpa did, you know, his.
It's so great that you still have some of the art that was there, you know.
Well, visual appealingness is important. So you can't just open it up and have it, you know, just some black room. You know, it needs to be something that draws people in and touches them in all their different senses. Visual appeal is really important. I hope whoever does it right.
There will never ever be another Upstage. I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, it just was such a unique place and such a unique experience and such a, I mean, it really had to do with your grandfather and Margaret Potter, and, you know, Margaret with her music background, and the two of them together really created, you know, to me, I mean, the name, the Upstage was the name, and it became famous, absolutely. I think everyone, you know, is familiar with the Upstage in Asbury Park. But I believe that it was your grandfather's dream, and Margaret, you know, coming in, and the two of them were just unbelievable people. I mean, that's really the truth.
Really were
and friendly
duo,
and welcoming, and everyone was, it was like family. Everyone was welcomed. And like you say, there was no alcohol, and that was really fabulous. And it was because when the clubs closed down too, I mean, gosh, it was open till like, I think, 5 o'clock in the morning or something like that. And I wanted to ask you a question. When were they simultaneously running the Inkwell, or did the Inkwell come later, the Inkwell in West Long Branch? Because your grandfather
never associated with the Inkwell, to my knowledge.
I don't know why I always thought that they were.
Mm-mm.
They were
many
not.
Businesses. They had many businesses. Don't get me wrong.
Right.
They had a beauty salon.
But right.
They had a photography studio. They had Studio 6. You know, and then they had an art studio. They had the two venues, which was actually the Green Mermaid Cafe and the Upstage Club in the
right.
same, you know, thing, but it was two different things. And then they, you know, they kept up with all that, but they didn't have the Inkwell. I think it was around the same time period.
The same era, yeah, because that was a popular place,
mm-hmm.
too. And I think it might have been open all night. I think people, why I thought that is because people would leave, I think they would leave the Upstage and they'd go to Long Branch because they were open like all night long, I think. And you could have like, and they had really great sandwiches and coffee and things like, it was like a coffee house and they had a lot of art on the walls. And it was just a groovy, it was an in place, you know what I mean? It was
mm-hmm.
the 60s generation type of, okay, well, we're going to leave the, you know, we're going to stay up all night, so we'll leave the Upstage and we'll go to the Inkwell. So maybe
right.
that's why I had that connection. But, as far as the Green Mermaid, I never had the opportunity to go there, or if I was there, I didn't know it. But I certainly was at the Upstage many, many times,
well,
and I'm really upset.
Once you go in, the Mermaid is on the second floor, and the Upstage Club was on the third. And once the Upstage Club opened, people, you know, would go straight upstairs to the third floor because that's where the larger dance area was, and that was, you know, the more interesting part of the venue. And the Green Mermaid actually might have closed. According to some, I think it closed at a certain time, and the Upstage Club upstairs remained open. I'm not positive on that one. I think it may, you know, like businesses do, they try different things, so it may have gone back and forth.
Right.
But it was there. It was all there together.
Well, it was certainly a huge success. That's for
mm-hmm.
sure. That's for sure. And I had the newspaper, and I had photographs of Bruce on stage, and like all these, and Vinny, and all these musicians on stage, and I had like several different newspaper articles. And in my move from California, they disappeared. So I was sorry about that. That I don't have them anymore, but well, if I had had them, I would have sent them to you anyway, but you
right.
might have had them anyway, excuse me, probably you had to have them anyway. But anyway, Margaret, you know, Potter used to cut my hair, Margaret Romeo, and our families knew each other, and I knew Margaret Potter very well, and my, you know, my brother, of course, Billy Ryan, you know, they were very good friends, and it was like really happening. I'm telling you, it was like at the height of everything was happening. I mean, it was like incredible. It's hard to explain to people what it truly was like unless you were there, But there is a lot of interest. And all the people that I speak to, like, that are maybe a generation, like, maybe 10 years younger, and they ask me, like, what was it like then? Dang, I wish I was there then, you know? Oh, I wish I was there, or they'll see photographs.
Well, that's one of the things I really appreciate of the collection my grandfather holds, because it is almost like you're there. Those photographs
and
the book are incredible, and I can't give all the credit to Grandpa, because Jim Fainter, a close friend and also employee and understudy to my grandfather in the photographic arts field, took the photos that are in the chapter for the Green Mermaid and the Upstage Club, as well as the riots. So the book is like half my grandfather's artwork and photographs, and then the rest is Jim's, and he was so nice to, you know, take those at the request of my grandfather with my grandfather's equipment as part of my grandfather's bigger plan to capture everything on camera and then use that to colorfully display the patrons as they're in there.
Right,
you know, it was all part of that psychedelic 3D, 4D decor type experience. So, I mean, it's because of my grandfather's creative genius that we have that much of the club captured on film. And then Jim was an amazing, assistant to Grandpa, because he, you know, was a kindred spirit. And then he took that camera and went out during the riots and took all those photos, you know, with the club's equipment. And it was like,
wow,
I couldn't imagine.
That's
it's like
really interesting.
It really is. The book,
I didn't know that.
A movie, and I don't take credit for any of it. I just put it together in a very beautiful way, but I don't. You can't make this stuff up. You know,
I like that.
Like, people are like, oh, you're an author. No, I'm not an author, because I didn't write, but maybe just a few things in the beginning to help set the course for the story. But the stuff that's in that book is just history on paper. And like I said, you can't make it up, and you can't make it better by adding to it or talking about it with your opinion. It's just, it is what it is, and it's fabulous. It's crazy.
Right. Well, I think you did a phenomenal job on the book and with the people that helped you, and you certainly did give them, you know, them credit as well. I read in your bio, I read you had like 13 pages of information about the Upstage, and anyone that's listening to the program today or when they listen to it at their convenience and pleasure, they can, you know, whenever, they can just go to even Google Carrie Potter and look at the Upstage Club. Google the Upstage Club, Asbury Park, and you can see an interview with author Carrie Potter and Devening, and you can read all about it and learn things that you probably, you know, didn't know about it. And I was just, you know, kind of really going, yes, this is really cool. This is so cool. Even though it was cool to me before, you know, like 4 years ago when you wrote the book and we met at Convention Hall. And I have my book right on, it's on my coffee table till this day, sitting right there with your lovely inscription inside. And and I treasure it. I mean, it's one of my, it's my favorite. The other book that I have on my coffee table is way up there with your book, and it's Henry Vaccaro Sr.'s book called Johnny Cash is a Friend of Mine. And, you know, he, and of course he signed a book for me and gave me a book, and his book is on my coffee table. And then I have a book about love that I have no idea who wrote it. It's a big book and it's got beautiful artwork in it. But those are my coffee table books and they stay there. And it's because they mean so much. It's because they
mean
so much to me.
I had no idea. You know, we always knew that we had this large amount of photos and things from Grandpa when he passed away, and he traveled with them. Like when we packed him from Florida to move to Texas, you know, when he was retired and in his, you know, last days or years, really, he lived here in Texas for years before he passed away, and we took care of him. But when, I mean, we always knew we had all of this luggage with this Upstage Club stuff of my grandfather's past. But when I found out that there was the building was still there, and it was still there, and people were putting it, mentioning it on albums and in books. I was like, whoa, what? And then I went up there with the slides that I had, and I did slideshows for people, and emotions that it evoked was overwhelming, just overwhelming. And I was really shown right there, there's a really good reason to write a book here. This is, I need to do this. This is crazy.
Right.
There's so many people who are going to be affected by me not keeping this to myself because, you know, for whatever reasons, they were all, when they saw the photos, it was just so evoking. And I just, I didn't feel like it was ethically right not to put it into a book. So I seriously just set out to make it available to people, you know, so they can see it, because obviously I can't do a slideshow for each and every individual person, so putting it into a book.
And that's why I do this show, is because, well, my show is about childhood memories and how they influenced you to becoming who you are today. And, of course, after, and I usually ask that question, that's the one only question I usually ask now, when I do this short broadcast of a half an hour. I mean, we could talk like for hours about this, hours and hours about it. But I definitely, well, I want you to know that the broadcast is going to go live, like, you know, minutes after we end the show. It's, our time is pretty much up, and it went so fast. And I want to thank you so much for being on the show. I want to go over a little bit and hope that they just don't, they usually don't cut it off. They'll usually, like, trail it.
You're welcome.
But I want to thank you so much for taking the time, and I so look forward to seeing you again. It's going to be great. I will definitely be up there at 7 o'clock in front of the upstage on Wednesday, the 24th of June. I will be there, and so anyway, this will be, all information will be on there, and I'll also post this, even though everybody will have it because it goes on the news feed and goes on my Ryan Rocks it, on all my pages. It'll be on LinkedIn and Twitter, and I'll put it on all the big, you know, the Monmouth County news pages. I can just share the interview directly on their timelines, and I find that that's most effective because that way it's in front of their face and they can just click. If it's like a, if it's just like a video, I mean, it has the little play button. All you do is push play and you hear, hello, this is Nancy Ryan, Ryan Rocks It Asbury Park Style with Carrie, you know, and what a great show.
Well,
what
so
a great show.
And
you'll be amazed when you,
you
will be amazed to see Cookman Avenue and everything that's gone on. And if I can be of any help with you, I'll put on my thinking cap between now and the 24th. And, you know, of course, we'll talk, and hopefully you can get in and talk to, you know, many of the current shop owners, because there's so many galleries and there's a place where they frame art, very nice people, lots of places. And maybe you can even, like, start, like, promoting the book again and, you know, with those shops on Cookman Avenue and getting your, you know, getting flyers in there and letting people know where they can get a hold of the book. In fact, you can let us, well, it's right in the, it's right where they can get the book is, I think, right in our, in the promo. So everybody, you know where you can get it. And just Google Carrie. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the best place to get it is authorhouse.com, because that's my publisher, and that's going to be the most cost-effective way to get it. It's a huge mamajama of a book. It's got over 1,000 pictures in it. It's over 300 pages long, and it's ginormous. It's 8.5 by 11, as you know, and so it's not
cheap
because of printing costs, but it's worth it. I mean, I couldn't give you an entire copy of the collection in 4x6s for any cheaper. It's insanely good what you're getting for the price.
It's wonderful.
And I did the best I could to find someone who could do it economically and still have a good quality print for people to read and enjoy. So,
Well, you're very artistic. You're very artistic, carrying yourself as a photographer. And, you know, you have the eye and the way you put it together. And then at the bottom of the book where you put scrapbook, I thought, scrapbook, I don't know.
No,
and then I thought,
book.
scrapbook, book.
No, that's
I thought, yes.
Book. If you look on the inside, there's a picture of him with his scrapbook with the same
scrapbook.
Cover.
Yeah, because it's something that you don't just look through once. Or read. It's not
right.
A kind of thing that you just pick it up once. You pick it up many times and many times and many times.
He had a bunch of scrapbooks. I didn't know what I was going to do for the cover. And he had a bunch of scrapbooks that he would look
right.
through and put. He kept track of all these wonderful
right.
things him and Margaret did. And I thought, oh, my God, that is the most perfect cover.
Right.
And then I superimposed the
and it
Photoshop.
Is.
I
it
superimposed
is.
Margaret because she was not in the original photo on
right.
his scrapbook because I have the original and she's not in it. It's a newspaper clipping that he glued to the front. And that's why
mm-hmm.
you see it's kind of torn and worn and then it got mildewed or whatever. But I thought, oh my God, this is the most fabulous cover. I scanned it. I put it, Margaret, down there in the corner. And then that's it. And I put the words "For Music's Sake" on it. It was done. And I
yeah,
was just like,
it's wonderful.
So perfect. So
it is.
Perfect.
Oh, you know what? I love you. You're a fantastic person. Thank you so much for your contribution to the Upstage
You're
doing
welcome.
This. It's your legacy. It was your grandfather, like I said, you know, to you. And it's a beautiful thing that you know, and it is a labor of love. And I thank you personally for sharing it with everybody. I love it that my brother Billy's got a whole darn page in the book. So, you know, I brag about you all the time. And I promote it all the time.
I love Billy's part in the book. So
yes,
great.
It's wonderful. So listen, I'm going to say good bye to you. I have some nonprofits. We're still on the air. They're so nice to me. I'm still on the air, but I'm going to just quickly do some nonprofits, and then I will definitely see you have a very safe trip, blessed trip with your family.
Thank you.
And I look forward to seeing you.
Okay, we'll see you soon. Thank you, Nancy.
Oh, you're quite welcome. I'm going to do all my nonprofits now. You can stay on the line or you can hang up, whichever you like. So, folks, I'm just going to say...
I think I'll hang up and get on the road.
You better. Okay, Kelly. Goodbye,
okay,
sweetie.
Okay, bye-bye.
Take care. Okay. Well, everybody, this has been a wonderful time with my friend Carrie. You've got to have the opportunity to meet her. If you're in Asbury Park, please go down. That would be really nice for you to see Carrie. In any case, I just want to say that I do promote Helping Hands of New Jersey, Tent City. These are all on Facebook. The Monmouth Ocean County Food Bank, Hitting the Streets for the Homeless, and City of Angels, and I believe that I covered them all. I'm sorry I'm going so fast, but my time is up. I don't want to take advantage of my wonderful program. I really love this program, Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style, and I intend on doing it for a very long time. Goodbye to everybody. Bless you. And I actually have another show next week. I'm doing more shows than ever. Have a wonderful, wonderful evening. Bye-bye, everybody.